This morning's scripture reading is from the Gospel according to John, the 3rd chapter, the first 17 verses. It's a very familiar passage, but sometimes when you look at a passage and you read it again and again and study it, new ideas, new thoughts come to mind. And, well, I think about Nicodemus and the issue of how to be a follower of God, but having difficulty because he didn't quite get all of the why. Let's listen for God's word as it is written. There was a Jewish leader named Nicodemus who belonged to the party of the Pharisees. And one night he went to Jesus and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a great teacher sent by God. No one could perform the miracles you are doing unless God were with him." And Jesus answered, "I'm telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "Well, how can a grown man be born again?" Nicodemus asked. "He certainly cannot enter his mother's womb and be born a second time." "I'm telling you the truth," replied Jesus, "that no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. A person is born physically of human parents, but he is born spiritually of the Spirit. Do not be surprised because I tell you that you must all be born again. The wind blows wherever it wishes. You hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. It is like that with everyone who is born of the Spirit." "How can this be, Nicodemus?" asked Nicodemus. And Jesus answered, "You are a great teacher in Israel, and you don't know this? I'm telling you the truth. We speak of what we know and report what we have seen, yet none of you is willing to accept our message. You do not believe me when I tell you about the things of this world. How will you ever believe me then when I tell you about the things of heaven? And no one has ever gone up to heaven except the Son of Man who came down from heaven. As Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the desert, in the same way the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believed in him may not die, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its Savior." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have you ever had difficulty learning to do something, how to do something, but then it wasn't until you had a better understanding of the why behind it that began to make some sense? I'll take you on a boring trip back to my youth when I was in the 8th grade. We just moved. Dad was working for the presbytery. Mom just got a teaching job. It was summertime, and there was a bedroom that needed to be painted. So I volunteered. Well, I got the paint. Dad started to explain how you paint a wall with a roller. And about halfway through it, I thought I had the picture. I said, "I know, I understand, I know how to do it." And I immediately turned him off. Okay. So I started to paint. Dad had explained that you paint vertically with a roller, horizontally, and go in different directions to help spread the paint out. But all I could see was how to paint a wall was to make sure that you were changing from a pink color to a green in this case. And so I'm going up and down, all the way down the wall, around the corner, up, you know, up the door and so on. But when the paint dried, it didn't look quite right because there were streaks. Well, Dad took a look at it. He said, "You kind of know how. The how is to change the color, right?" I said. He said, "The why behind it is to make a brand new wall, which is clean and devoid of the color of the past. And all you did was make streaks." You know, sometimes I think that it isn't until the why becomes clear that there are a lot of things that we don't know how to do right. Nicodemus wrestled with that issue of the why and got stuck on the how in his conversation with Jesus. Now, he came to Jesus at night. He would obviously had some serious questions about what Jesus was teaching. And especially he stumbled when it came to being born again, or born from above. The same Greek word is for both is the same. But they both have a similar meaning in the sense that they come from God. Anyway, Jesus looked at Nicodemus, and he knew he had to explain some of the why that Nicodemus wasn't getting that would help him to understand more of the how. So Jesus replied in so many words, "Nicodemus, you're a son of the law given to Moses. You're a Pharisee. You've studied these things. Think, man. Live the law out of the love of God and God's love for you and for your neighbor. And when you do that, with that attitude of appreciation, you are living a life that is born again, born from above. And it has nothing to do with being physically reborn." And Jesus referred him to the story of Moses in the wilderness, the snakes attacked. God told Moses to lift up a snake on a pole. The snake eventually died, the snakes disappeared, and there was no more problem. Healing took place. And so Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, think ahead, you'll see an example of a giving of one life out of love for everyone else's life, referring to his own future crucifixion. Being born again. You and I think often we know the answer of how. We know the gospel message. We are forgiven of our sins. We know that we are to love our neighbors. We look forward to God's eternal kingdom with Jesus and the other faithful. We go through the motions and words of living our faith. And we know that God loves us, that Jesus loves us. And I see we're going to be singing a song a little bit later. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But sometimes, don't we wonder, okay, I'm supposed to believe these things, but why in the world would the Almighty, the giver of life, bother to care about us, we poor ornery critters? And somehow we stop there. And we might look for ways to become better critters. And so we turn to a how that we might understand. Well, we'd better be thinking about the why behind the how. The answer's simple if we look for it. God's walk with us is recorded in the Bible. We read how God faithfully spared humankind, how he led his people who were starving to go to Egypt to find food. We know that story about Joseph. And then he led them from Egypt to freedom, the search and the acquisition of the promised land. And he stood with them through the Babylonian captivity and their return to Jerusalem. And God showed the greatness of his love, the depth of it, through the life, teachings, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And God's Holy Spirit works through that the apostles and even up to our days. And this, even though the scriptures were closed around 90 AD, God's mighty works of love continue in our lives. The answer to the why is simple. God loves you and me so much that the Almighty chose to want us to share in God's kingdom here on earth and on into eternity. So maybe we ought to focus simply on the why and leave it at that and accept the fact that the answer lies in the fact that God simply wanted to. God chose in his divine wisdom and love to call us, to accept us. A little dry throat here. And he did it just because he wanted to and asked us to accept that simple fact. No more reason than that. And so God forgives us. And that then should become the motivation for the how we live our faith. It's because we want to do so as best we can because of appreciation for what God has done for us in Christ. Now, accepting the simple answer to why leads us to some responsibility to do some how. When I learned to paint the wall properly, I began to see the why behind it. Much better appearance. Didn't see streaks or lines or spots that were faded. Nope. Saw a good wall. The question becomes then, okay, how do we, to the best of our abilities, start seeking to live the how in response to God's love? And the simple answer of why. We may start our faith walks in many ways. We know that we are supposed to do the best we can to show love for neighbor, to actually love ourselves as well, to say something about our faith, not just do nice acts, and sometimes to even care about those for whom we may not care, and to try to understand those whom we don't understand, and realize that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. But in trying to do the how, we then revert to not understanding the why and the motivation for us. Sometimes that gets a little lost. Yes, we know what to do in most cases. But sometimes in our selection of friends, we ignore others. We look the other way when we see things that should not be as they are. We don't bother to learn about things that we don't know about how other people live, the conditions which they experience. And when we do those things, and other things like that, we may just be making it impossible for a person whom we've rejected to ever never understand a concept of a loving God, because we haven't shown it through our lives. Sometimes we reverse engineer. We reverse engineer the business of the why, and which leads us to the how. We think we know, and we become very much attached to that love of God for us. But sometimes we let it stop there. And that affects the lives of others. A fellow by the name of Alfred North Whitehead once said, "We're the sum total of our past experiences." And what he was saying was that every time we come in contact with another person, we either affirm or deny some basic sense of humanity and its value and decency, or else we deny it. We either affirm it or we deny it. And we come away slightly different people, whether it's in the close relationship of family, of the workplace, of the neighborhood, or whether it's a casual hello to somebody we've never even seen before and probably will never ever see again. We are called to take the why and let the how come from that and guide us. Sometimes we not only forget to do the how, but sometimes we lose confidence in the how to which we are called. Sometimes we forget that regardless of the size of a congregation, we still have a mission given to us by God, by the Holy Spirit, to share the message of Christ in some manner. Oh yes, we'll hear voices that say something like this: "You don't worship as you should." Other voices will say, "Because you can't point to a particular time or date on a calendar, that you must not be a born-again Christian because you can't point to a particular time or place." And that forgets the fact that a lot of people grow into that faith, and their faith is just as strong. And then there are folks that may look at us and they may say, a bigger church is a better church because bigness is a sign of God's blessing of what we are doing. Nonsense. Regardless of size or the way in which you've come to know the Lord or how you worship and praise God and listen for His word, there's a place and a mission for you. And there's the acceptance of God's love in Christ that was made to you in more ways than one. Remember what Jesus said? The wind blows where it will. We don't know where it comes from. The Spirit works that way. The message of God's mission to us, inspiration for our witness, is there. We have to listen for it. We have to follow it and accept the fact that we're going to hear the challenges which are presented to us to do the message of Christ, to do the gospel. We're going to hear it in different ways. This church has been here now for several years. It's varied in size. The neighborhoods change. But you are still here. And God calls to you, both as a congregation and as individuals. Listen to God, as God guides in many, many ways to find the how you are to carry out that witness and to understand the simple why, that God simply loves us all because God chooses us and chooses to do so. So don't let size or the way you worship or how you came to know the Lord, the details as that are like slopping paint carelessly on a wall and hoping to cover a previous color. The point of the love is to be all-encompassing, to be shared in many different ways, just as a swatch is left by a paint roller, so that the result may be a smooth witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ, God's love for us, in this world and for eternity. So, let's realize that we start with the simple why. Because God just loves us as we are. And lets that become the motivation to listen for God's Spirit, to show us ways in which we can live the how. Amen.